Well, this evening, I'd like to invite you to stand as we share in the gospel lesson from the book of Luke. Two reasons for that. One is that it's a good thing to always stand when the gospel is read. And secondly, if the back end gets a little bit too tired, then it affects the mind. All right? So let's stand. Reading from Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 26 from the New Living Translation. So the disciples and Jesus arrived in the region of the Gerasenes. It's across the lake from Galilee. And as Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time, he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. And then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. The spirit had often taken control of the man, even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles. He simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness completely under the demon's power. And Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, for he was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter into the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. And then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the hill, the steep hillside, into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw it, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened, and a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed, and all the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home, saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Please be seated. Well, no doubt that was pork chop night in the Gerasenes. The Gerasenes was a Gentile region east of the Jordan River and southeast of the Sea of Galilee. And oh my, they did like their pork chops, and they had plenty of them now. But what a unique and odd and powerful story this really is about pigs and demons. And this is a great story, especially for me, because I used to be a pig farmer. And I can attest, there are demon pigs. There is no doubt of that. All right? Now, here in this story, we're told of a man whose life is really out of control. A legion of demons tormenting him. Now, a legion is in the Roman army consisted of about 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. And so this man wasn't just dealing with a demon that was possessing him, but it was just a whole mess of demons terrorizing this man, thousands of demons. And this man is so lost, so out of control that he lives in a cemetery among the dead. This man is homeless. This man is completely cut off from everyone and everything. His mind is gone. His clothes are gone. His family, his friends are gone. His life is gone. That's what the story is about. This man's life is completely shot. And it's here that Jesus steps out of the boat and into this man's life and takes control of these demonic spirits. Isn't that a great story? That's powerful. And as the story goes, the demons, they beg Jesus not to send them into the abyss, but rather to go into the pigs in the hillside. And so Jesus, he casts them out, and the demons, they go into the pigs, and these demon pigs literally go wee, 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 all the way off the cliff. And of course, that really honks off the folks who owns the pigs. And then the townspeople, they seem to get all oinked off, and they tell Jesus that Jesus just really needs to leave, that he needs to oink out of here. And so that's where my sermon title comes, oinked off and oinked out. But the people, man, they are terrified, and they tell Jesus to leave. And so what's Jesus do? He leaves. Think about that. He leaves. Fear. Okay? Fear. Paralyzing fear. That's really what this passage deals with. This story is really not so much about pigs or demons or angry townspeople or even about a crazed wild man. If you look closely, you'll discover this story is really a story about fear and faith and the hope that Jesus can bring into people's lives. Okay? If people will let him. Okay? There's the if. But you see, the people of the Gerasenes, this Gentile region, they didn't want to let Jesus do anything for them. In fact, they begged Jesus to leave them. Jesus, get back into your boat. Depart from us. Leave us alone. Verse 35 and verse 37, you'll see those words, fear. They were afraid. And you hear again in verse 37 that it was fear that came upon them. Seems odd, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus is present. He brings healing to this man, the possibility of a whole new life for this man and his community. And the people say, leave us, leave us. What do you suppose they were so afraid of? What do you suppose? Was it that they were still afraid that this man whom Jesus had just healed, that maybe he wasn't quite healed. I mean, this is the first time they've ever seen Jesus. They've heard of Jesus and how Jesus is this great teacher and how he is this great healer. But after all, this was Weird Harold. This was the crazy guy from the tombs. And he's a tricky little devil. I mean, after all, he might just be putting on a show, and just about the time that we get close enough, he's going to go into demon mode again, and he's liable to grab a stick and start beating on us. After all, this is the guy that we've put in chains. I've put the leg irons around him myself and fastened them tight, and he broke them. And that legion of demons, it had given him supernatural strength, and he snapped those irons and broke the chains with his bare hands. Streaked out into the night like, look out, Ethel, howling like a wild animal. Some of you remember that song, don't you? Yeah. Was he really in his right mind? Was he really whole and made into this new creation? Was he really healed? I mean, after all, he's probably not the kind of guy that you're going to want to go going on a camping trip with anytime soon, right? Right? But yet, when we read on, we find that Luke is pointing us to a different kind of fear. And no doubt, probably a number of that crowd were cautious of what they were seeing. But you see, what Luke points us to is something else. It's a much deeper fear. What do you think they were afraid of? Perhaps they were afraid of just how much this Jesus was going to cost them. I mean, think about it. Jesus hadn't even gotten into town yet, and the community pork producer is already ruined. All of its profits, all of their baby back ribs lay down there below the cliff in the bottom of the sea as fish bait. These poor folks, they're not going to be eating barbecue pork chops or pulled pork or for a long time, and that would certainly make me very afraid. You know, what about you? World without pork? Can you imagine? But yeah, they probably were afraid of just how much Jesus was going to cost them. And without a doubt, some were just plain angry about what he had already cost them. Probably rightfully so. A whole herd of pigs, that's my entire life there. And so they quickly count the cost, and then they ask Jesus to get out of town before something else happens. But again, I think that that sounds more like anger than fear. And so again, what do you think that they were so afraid of? I want you to listen how Luke describes the situation. He tells us how the herdsmen, how they go into town and they go through the country spreading the news of what had happened. And the crowds, they gather around. They see this sight. They see this demon-possessed man. Now he's healed. He's at peace. He's at his right mind. Here's this man, living proof of God's power. And Luke tells us, this is Luke's words. He says, "And all the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them." You see, I think the fear that swept over them was the living proof that sat right there at Jesus' feet, that living proof that they too could be made whole in every way, in their marriages, in their relationships, in their daily living as human beings, if they let Jesus into their life situation. And I think that scared them to death. That's this paralyzing fear. We see it all the time. You ever wonder why people are sometimes like that? I mean, think about it. Why is it that some folks would rather choose brokenness over wholeness? We see it all the time. You know, why is it that some folks would rather choose to short-circuit their lives instead of finding a new life in life? Those of you who know my family and, you know my situation of caring for my grandchildren, that's what we're dealing with. Why would you choose to short-circuit your life? And so we have our grandkids because of the choices of our daughter. And I've asked you to pray about that and pray for me and my family about that. And I hope you are. I hope you are. Why is it that, but we're not alone there, are we? There's all kinds of families. Families even in this church that are dealing with the same thing. Families at New Burlington dealing with this very same thing. But why is it that some folk would rather break their relationship with others than to do whatever was necessary to make their relationship good and whole again? Why is it that some people are so afraid of becoming well? I wonder, is it because it's just easier to embrace the brokenness than the wholeness that is offered to us through the power of Jesus Christ? Why is it that it seems so much easier to just embrace the brokenness and remain angry at someone than it is to truly forgive that person and to reconcile? You know, the work is so much more difficult, but yet what can come out of that can be so much good. Why is it that we choose the psychic pain and the ulcers from internalized bitterness and hurt than the possibility of a restored friendship. Fear. See, fear tells us that it is scarier to be well than it is to be sick. But faith tells us to trust God and God's power in our lives, to not be afraid, but to put your hands into God's hands and to let Him lead you to a better way of life. And just as Jesus brought a better and a different world for this man at the tombs, Jesus has a different vision for us of our fears, of our brokenness, of, you know, that He would lead us to. He's got a different vision for you and for me and for our neighbor and for our world. You see, he doesn't see humanity as immersed in sin and shame and sickness, but really as bathed in the merciful love and the healing wellness of God. And in this evening's lesson, man, he is sitting right there between what Legion used to be and what this man has become because of the power of God, whole and happy and restored to his family, restored to his community, back in relationship with God and being able to worship openly, no longer having to live in the tombs in despair. And that wholeness is what occurs whenever a person allows the power of Jesus to move in their lives. But as this story goes, that power can be rejected. That power can be turned away. We can choose to live in fear. We can choose to tell Jesus to just leave us alone because we're too afraid to deal with the things of life that we're uncomfortable with. Or we can choose to invite Jesus to stay right with us and to assist us in changing those pieces of our lives that are broken and bruised and empty. And that takes faith. Truly, that takes faith. Ah, church, without a doubt, God's desire for us, for His people, is to experience the power in our lives, His power in our lives, and to allow that power to make us whole and to make our relationships whole in every way, and that comes by the way of faith. You see, this story, man, it is a story of great, great hope for the demonic, a great story of hope for the townspeople, and it's a great story for you and me. Things don't have to stay the way that they are. That's what this story's about. Jesus will meet you. He will meet me in every way if we just let Him. But hear this. Hear this. There is little hope. There is no hope. No hope of getting well. No hope of being made whole. No hope of making our relationships good again if we just ask Jesus to get back in the boat and to oink on out of here. Church, you see, God wants to touch our lives with the power of Jesus Christ and to turn our fears into rock-solid faith. And our choice in this is, will we let Him? Will we let Him? It's a great story. Not about pigs and demons, is it? It's not about townspeople. It's not even about this naked, wild, crazed Herod, our Herald, who's just streaking through the night. No, it's a story about fear and faith and allowing Jesus to help us to have the faith to deal and to allow Him to help us to deal with our stuff of life. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank You for stories such as these in Your holy word, stories that teach us about what it is to be Your people in relationship with You, allowing You to touch those very deep parts of our lives and to to craft and to move in the midst of the brokenness that we may find ourselves in and the situations that we may find ourselves with within our own families and with our friends and our neighbors, and to just walk in faith with you and to not give up and to choose the way of being afraid, of choose the way of brokenness, of choose the way that's easy, but to truly choose to set our relationships right with you and to right with one another. And we know, Lord, that there are times that we may never be the same again in our relationships, but Lord, we also know that you are the one that can bring out something good, something wonderful, something beautiful as we give that over to you and as we walk hand in hand with you and with those that we have been in broken relationship with, that you can create something good even now, something new, if we just allow it. So Lord, we want to allow that. Lord, we want you to not get back in the boat, but to stay right here with us and leading us and helping us through as we give ourselves over to you. Lord, just continue to make us well. Continue to make us healthy in your eyes with one another. And just to bring about the wholeness that your Holy Spirit offers us. And we just give you thanks, Jesus, for that beautiful gift that you offer us in life, that gift of relationship and that gift of love with you and with one another. God, we give you thanks for this night and for bringing us together and for allowing us to be here to share with you. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.